Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. One more time for Coddington, huh? Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you very much. That was when Cod first had that idea. What? I just tried to ban that guy. Coddington had that idea. He was like, yeah, man, I got the trumpet. And then, like, as this tour went on, he's like, yeah, I got the old-timey shirt. It's going to be great. It's awesome. Indiana, I'm very thankful for this theater for letting me in, because it's not easy these days getting booked when you're a guy like me. It's like the whole country's like, you're one of them no sodomy guys. We don't like your kind around here. You're one of them country boys that ain't into sodomy. You're one of them, you're one of them type that doesn't think Caitlyn's a brave and beautiful woman. Now you get out of here. I love the state of Indiana just because of the city Gary, Indiana. Yeah. It's my favorite name. It's just like, I almost wanted to tell Amy, like, listen, we're moving. It's like, where? It's like, we're going to Gary, Indiana. It's like, why? Because it's named Gary. That's the coolest name ever. Whoever founded that city, everyone's like, what should we name it? Someone's like, Gary. Imagine, just, I don't think people understand how wild that is. That's like, where do you live, Gary, Indiana? No, I live in Todd, Ohio. It's just like a dude's name. What's that? You need a bike lock. That's hilarious. That was when the Jackson 5 left Gary, Indiana, bike theft went down 25%. Make some noise for E. Michael Jones is in the house, huh? Legend. And the Kurgan is here from England. Make some noise for the Kurgan. A lot of you guys came from a far distance, and I really appreciate that. What's that? You shut your mouth. It's a fun time to be alive, man. I dig it. I dig it. Some people are spiraling. A lot of young men are spiraling. They're like, dude, everything's going to hell, man. The world's ending. I'm just like, have you been watching dirty movies on your phone again? He's like, yeah. What'd I tell you about that? It makes me sad. It makes you sad. It makes you sad. No, but this autistic girl named Greta said that the oceans are rising. Have you been watching pornos? Yes. Stop. I can't stand hecklers. Do you want to talk? I'm doing a brand new hour of material that I've never done before. Now I just have a random dude going, the Kurganster. Like, I know you're probably great, but just let me stay focused. I don't even remember what I'm talking about. I'm all fired up because E. Michael Jones is here. We got a trumpet. Everybody's crushing. And now I have to, like, interact. Yeah. So, thank you. Thank you very much. And the fear stuff isn't new. You know, this is the problem. A lot of young people think that this is a new phenomenon, that everybody's like, dude, the world's ending. You know, everything's falling apart. Dude, every generation has its own fears. This little group of, like, little short guys comes, they're like, they come up with, like, little fears for everybody, and then they just roll them out. They're like, oh, what are they going to scare everybody with? Like, Gen X had its own set of nonsense fears. Make some noise if you're in Gen X. We're the Gen X people. Nice. The Gen X fears were as follows. One was the Bermuda Triangle. And for those of you that weren't part of this, you have to understand, it was a real fear. It was real. It was all the movies, all TV, your teachers in school, Time Magazine, media, all of it was like, the Bermuda Triangle. You will be lost in that triangle. And people were scared of the Bermuda Triangle. They're like, yeah, that's a crazy triangle. Everybody dies in it. And people would be like, whoa. And then fear number two, huge fear for a long time, was Bigfoot. It was real. It wasn't just like something funny now. It's like, oh, Bigfoot. No, back then it was like, Bigfoot is coming. He's out there. Because we have this grainy video. And it, there's just this video, which I believe is just a naked Armenian guy. And he's just like, that's it. That's all it was. And people spiraled. And then the third thing that I think a lot of people forgot was quicksand. For those of you that don't remember quicksand is simply sand. And it sucks you in, so you drown in sand. It was in thousands of movies. Oh, it's quicksand! Watch out for quicksand. Does anyone remember what to do when you start dying in quicksand? Everybody knows. Everybody already has their game plan. They're like, you float. Some other people are like, you don't move. You wait for your horse. You know how many people have died from quicksand total? Zero. Total. But everybody already has a plan. It's like, I'm going to grab the vine. And when I'm in the forest, you know, if I see leaves, it might be quicksand. I was extra scared of quicksand because I'm 6'8". So it would have been an awkwardly slow death. Like, as soon as I realized I was in quicksand, I'm in quicksand. It's up to my knees. And I would just slowly die. No way. And help would never come because they would have been lost in the Bermuda Triangle. And then the millennial generation came and a whole new rollout of fears. People forgot about the Bermuda Triangle. They forgot about Bigfoot. They forgot about quicksand. And the new one was acid rain. You know, as soon as acid rain came out, Joe Rogan was outside like, and we're like, no, Joe, that isn't the type of acid. He's like, and then he ran back in his little bread box. And they said acid was going to fall from the sky and kill all the plants. And, you know, we had our own little, like, autistic Swedish kids that would be like, how dare you? You know, we had all that. And then there was the ozone layer had a big hole in it. Remember that? And you remember where it was, the big hole? Antarctica. Conveniently a place you're not legally allowed to go check out the hole. Trust me, I've been trying to do an expedition to Antarctica for a while now. Not allowed to go. It's a whole other story. But the cause of the ozone layer, first of all, the ozone layer was disappearing and the hole was over Antarctica. And if you went outside, you would get cancer immediately and die if it kept spreading. And what caused the ozone holes? Anyone remember? Hairspray. So, and this was extra bad because it was in the 1980s. And every kid was Duran Duraning their hair with hairspray. So every morning it was real, just a real love hate. You know, you just be doing your hair and you're like, is it worth it? And then at the very end, you're about to do your last squirt and you're like, no, I'm going to save the world. And this is all real. And then the third big fear that was AIDS. You know, they rolled out AIDS in 85. And I remember in kindergarten, first grade, I was AIDS came out. And so I was, you guys remember AIDS? Kids during AIDS was insane. I remember at school, if you skinned your knee, nobody would sit with you at lunch. You know, you had your friends at lunch, but if you skinned your knee, you had to go sit at the AIDS table. Because no one knew how it was spread, but we knew it was blood. And so, I was born in 1980, so right in between Gen X and the millennials. So naturally, my biggest fear was that Bigfoot would give me AIDS. I mean, according to everybody, that was my biggest fear I should face, is that I would be stuck in quicksand, because Bigfoot, who would use too much hairspray and contracted skin cancer, would find me stuck and have his way with me and give me AIDS. And, you know, I've been skeptical for a long time. When people say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, I'm like, how did people... I was first awakened to conspiracies because of the tooth fairy. You know, I was a little kid and one of my teeth fell out and my dad told me to put it under my pillow and I'd get a quarter in the morning and I woke up and there was the quarter and he said I was the tooth fairy. So naturally, being a pretty entrepreneurial fella, I tried to bash my teeth out with a rock because I didn't know how long this deal was going to last. And I knew my teeth were going to eventually go. And I'm like, I don't know how long this is going to give me, you know, the tooth fairy might die. So I tried like bashing my teeth in with a rock because I was saving up to buy a bike. And my dad was like, stop doing that. I'm like, no, I want to get in with me on this. I'll give you half. I'll give you 12 and a half cents. Just help me. And he's like, no, it's me. It's me who gives you the quarter. And I never trusted my father ever again. You know, I love being married. I love being a dad. I have a great wife who's very grounded, very, good person. Yeah, give it up for my wife. And I highly recommend you marry like just a really good woman. You know, she'll talk with me about my stuff. You know, she'll be like, do you need some moon talk? Like, but she cares about me, so she cares, but she doesn't really care, you know? And, because I can't read my kids' books anymore because, we've decided that it's better if she reads the book. Because she'd be like, you want to read Walter a book? I'd be like, oh yeah, Charlotte's Web of Lies. She's like, just read the book. I'm like, there's a lot happening in this that we should talk about. Good night, moon, allegedly. My biggest spiral was Jack and the Beanstalk, you know? Because I haven't read that since I've been an adult. Why would I read Jack and the Beanstalk? And I realized it's horrible anti-giant propaganda. Think about it. This tricky little bastard named Jack, you know, lies and sneaks and cheats and gets his magic beans. And then this giant beanstalk goes up to the giant's land, like where he lives. You know, the giant did not invite Jack to his magical land. Jack just grabbles and sneaks. And he goes up there and he steals from the giant. The giant has a golden goose that lays golden eggs. You know, the giant is in control of the Federal Reserve. and the giant's just having fun. He's just like, this is a great goose. My goose. I love the goose. So Jack steals the goose, runs away. The giant's like, ah! And then Jack kills the giant and everyone rejoices. I burned it. I burned the book. Thank you. Yeah. And Hollywood has been feeding us a weird worldview for a long time. And I didn't realize it till having kids. And I'm like going through the movies of like what I can watch with my sons. And like Swiss Family Robinson's great. You know, everyone's crushing. Yeah, building, surviving, beating pirates. Awesome. Solid. But a lot of these movies, like Mary Poppins is about a failed mother who hires a random stranger from the smoke to give her kid poison. A spoonful of poison. You know, a lot of you guys aren't even, you don't even get it yet. Rewatch it. And she teams up with a street man who just, this guy's like, just rewatch it. I know you haven't seen it in a while, I can tell. And so I'm watching that, I'm like, I don't want to watch this. It's about a mom who abandons her kids to like six nannies who all quit. Then she hires a smoke lady with the umbrella. You know, same with Sound of Music. You have a father with order in his life, is lesbian, you know. She is. She's a nun on a bike who brings his kids to the top of a hill to dance without asking permission. Then she has sex with the guy. I'm watching this. I'm like, the hills are alive with the sound of lies. And the worst was, I wouldn't show my kids this at this age, but I thought Forrest Gump was like a good-hearted movie. And if Forrest Gump, someone's like, oh, Forrest Gump is such a good Americana movie. It's so good. I'm like, oh, about the gold digger who gave the retard AIDS? I didn't give the retard AIDS. People get offended when I just say the synopsis of the movie. I'm like, that's what it is. You got Jenny who, you know, Forrest, this retarded guy, whose mom had sex with a complete stranger with him in the other room. And he's like, just so he could get in a better school. And he's just like, And then it's a series of nihilistic events that people are just shooting Kennedy and no one knows why. And then he gets like $1 billion randomly. And so then Jenny gives him AIDS. This is another lie that Hollywood is told people. And this affects men, that women need men with money. You know, it's like, as soon as Forrest Gump got money, that's when the girl wanted to have sex with him. It's the same with like a lot of these movies. Women don't care about money. They don't. They want you to be able to build stuff. You know, that's why listen to women. They don't, you know, a lot of guys are like, oh, I can't get a wife because I don't own enough. I'm not rich. You know, they need that bling. No, they don't. Jenny needed bling to give the retard AIDS. That's not real life. You know, women just want you to like build them a table. It's like The Notebook. You know, that guy was just like, The Notebook, the guy was a carny. And the chick was with some like really successful guy. And the whole time the carny was like, I grew a beard and I built you the house. And I'm going to bang you in the house. And the chicks are like, yeah, that's awesome. And that's all they want. Like, I was on a sitcom when I first met Amy, and she was cool with that. Like, she was like, oh, you're on TV. That's awesome. And then I, got kicked out of everything. And I'm telling you, we had to rebuild from scratch, and I was building us a fence. And she's never been more attracted to me. Like, I was making no money. I was just building a fence, just digging holes, and she started objectifying me. You know, I had been on television making an absurd amount of money, and she was more just like, she was fine with it. She liked me. She was like, oh, I love what you do. But when I start building the fence, you know, I'm just penetrating the ground, just digging. You know, and she's looking at me, and like, she's eyeballing me. I'm like, hey, eyes upstairs. She just started ovulating. Like, she's like, this fence protects us, and I know that you didn't know how to do it, and now just seeing how hard you work, you know, I'm ovulating again. So, you know, I'm Me Too'd her. I'm just kidding. Here's the thing about the Me Too movement. Well, my point about all that is, fellas, you don't need money. Money can actually ruin a family. You know, money can exaggerate problems. What you need is jizz strength. You know, stop watching the pornos. Start building tables. And then make babies on said table. Yeah. The notebook gets it. The Notebook's based. You know that, the Christian Grey stuff, that's all, it should be called 50 Counts of Rape. That's not a valid movie. But anyway, so the Me Too movement really confused me. Cause when it first started, all these women are out in the streets, you know, and they're like, ah, me too. And so I did my part. I was in LA when it first started. And I would go out to these protests and I would hand out condoms. And I'd say, here you go. I don't approve of what you're doing, but if you're going to make these mistakes, protect yourself. And they're like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm the one trying to help out. Grassroots. Here, take this condom. And they're like, why are you even here? You're a man. I'm like, I'm here to protect you. I saw on Twitter, you and your little pound me too movement. And they're like, what? I'm like, pound me too, pound me too. It's like, no, that's a hashtag. I'm like, bitch, I was born in 1980. That's a pound symbol. And you're out here begging for it. Pound me too. Enough is enough. Pound me too. Protect yourself. You know, women and men need each other. This whole war, this gender war is awful because I learned that being married and having a lot of chickens, is women and men focus on different stuff and together you can have a great flock of chickens, you know? Like we have like 50 chickens and my wife always focuses on the one with the limp. You know, one chicken just like, and my wife's like, oh, Betsy needs a brace. And I'm focusing on the 49 crushers that are giving us the eggs. I'm like, yeah, give Betsy the brace. But these guys are the ones, do I got to kill Betsy? And she's like, no, we're going to nurse Betsy back to health. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, because she focuses on the weak and nurses them back up. I focus on the strong and I encourage the strong. Together we have a great flock. Just one without the other is a disaster. You know, like, without a woman, a man is just like, if you don't give me an egg every day, I will chop your head off. And without men, women would just be like, we're going to put all our resources towards the one with the limp, and then everyone starves. Because you can tell female and male nature when it comes to that. You can tell just when you're single out at a bar how men and women act differently. Like, women naturally go left. They're naturally more like communist. Men naturally go right. They're naturally more like nationalist or capitalist or whatever you want to call it, just freedom people, you know? And you can see it. You know what? If you're out at a bar and you're with a bunch of dudes and there's girls with girls, the girl having the worst time sets the tone for the whole night. You know, the limping chicken. You know, five girls could be having a blast and the one is like, oh my God, Brian's here with his new girl. I'm sad. The other girls are like, Tina's sad. Let's lick her tears. And they're like Voltron, just... They're on a unicorn. They're just eating ice cream at home. We got to go, but you're having fun. I know, but Tina's sad. And they're out. Men are the opposite. We cut the weak. You know, if you're out with dudes and one's like, I'm really sad. It's like, get out of here, Gary. I'll see you at home, but we don't need that right now. And then the opposite is true. And I noticed that when I played sports. Like, when you're a group of men, it's like, he's the fastest man. He's going to be captain. I like him. He's really fast. Women are like, she's the prettiest. Tell everybody she has herpes. Got to take her down to our level. And women have an Achilles heel that I've figured out that's great in traffic is empathy. Like, I'm not a great driver. Ask my buddy Ryan who's selling the shirts. Make some noise for my neighbor friend Ryan. He's been a professional truck driver for a long time, so being on the road with him, like, he'll just be like, ugh, like the way I drive. I'm not bad, but just inconsiderate, allegedly. And, and I was making a left, and there were some people coming, and this woman stopped as I was going, and I had no intention of stopping, but I wanted to let her know that I understand. I was like, I get it. You're mad. And she was like, and I, no stopping whatsoever, I just kept going, and I'm like, I've been there, I know you're upset. And I just kept, and she was just like, and I'm like, I feel that, I've been there, I get it, you're mad. And she just stopped being mad. And I just kept going, and she was just sitting there like, at least you understood me. I got a lot of goats. I'm obsessed with goats. You guys got some goats out here in Indiana? Make some noise if you have animals that you get food from. Couple people? What kind of animals you got? Chickens. Chickens are good. What do you guys got? Sheep. For wool or meat? Meat. Coddington actually slaughtered his first lamb on this tour. Yeah, give it up for Coddington for finding out where food comes from. Yeah. Like, the first time I slaughtered an animal, it was intense. I'm not going to lie, it's intense. Coddington was way too cool with it. It was, like, weird. Like, he just put the 22, you know, it was very, very quick, very professional, but he was just like, yeah, that's cool. The sheep's still ghost running, like, and Coddington didn't care at all. He's like, yeah, this is great. I'm like, I'm getting my own room, bro. Like, you're psychotic. Yeah, but it's cool. I milk the goats twice a day, and it's awesome knowing where your milk comes from, especially since, you know, Forrest Gump, the Tooth Fairy, a lot of things have happened in my life. Where I want to know where the milk's coming from, and I like that. And we drink a lot of goat milk. It's real healthy. But I was thinking, it must have been crazy for the first guy to drink goat milk. Can you imagine being the first dude? Like, at what point in human history were dudes just hanging out and there's goats and the kids, the goat kids were like, just like, and one dude's like,
guys, hear me out. I'm going to go drink some of that. And his buddies were probably like, oh, Gary, no, that's gross. He's like, I don't care what anybody says. I'm doing it. And he goes over. That's not the craziest part. The craziest part is the second guy. You know, who witnessed the whole thing. And everybody's like, oh, what's wrong with him? He's crazy. And the other guy's like, I'm going to do it too. But I get inspired by goats because of how simple their life is. Like, they just like to stand on stuff. Anything. They'll just see anything. They wake up in the morning after not sleeping much because of the terror of coyotes. But you hear women just go, aw. Like, dudes laughed and women said, aw. Did you just witness that? It's fascinating. The terror of coyotes, women are like, aw. Dudes are like, I'm going to shoot that fucking coyote. It's hilarious, our natures. But together it works, though, you know? Empathy and a little violence. And, you know, a goat just sees, scans the field, and he's like, that's tall. I'm gonna get on it. He just gets up there, boom. He's like, meh. And that's it. You know, every hill's a hill to die on when you're a goat. And they're just like, this is mine. I'm standing on it. It's awesome. And they require nothing else. They're not spiraling about global warming. They're not, you know, wondering if they have enough money to buy or have a family. They're just standing on pallets. And they're like, this is all I need. This is it. And then another goat comes up and they're like, I want some of that. And what do? Bam! They just headbutt them immediately. And so I've just been building this tower of goat Babel. And that's, and they're just up there. They haven't fallen off yet, but I'm just, you know. All right. Do you guys want to hear a little piano? Want to hear some piano? Great. Check. Here's a, thanks for coming out, by the way. You guys are awesome. It really means a lot to me. And, I know a lot of you guys travel to far ways, and I really appreciate it. And I, you know. All right, so anyway, here's a song. There's a quick song for you. This is called Every Relationship from a Man's Point of View. Why are you mad? What did I do? Why won't you talk to me? We just woke up. I can't think of anything I could have done. Did you have another bad dream about me? You had a dream I cheated on you, and now you're mad in real life. Well, guess what? I had a dream I was getting raped by a clown. I'm not mad at clowns, cause I know it was just a dream. If you stay mad, that means you're crazy. Thank you. Yeah, it's like, I don't see why people can't just admit different people are good at different stuff. It's not demeaning. You know, like the coolest thing, the most power of anyone I know is a mother and wife in a loving house. You know, it's like my wife crushes. But then for some reason, you know, it's like there's this narrative that keeps pushing that women have to be dudes or else they're being oppressed. And to the point where this year a new 007 is coming out for the first time. It's a woman, which is, it's just, but you know, I get it. I'm here. So I wrote her a song. All right, here we go. Instead of 007, she'd be 0077 cents on the dollar. She likes her apple teeny shaken or stirred, but blacks out if she forgets to eat dinner. She's a lethal secret agent, but has a hard time opening up a jar of pickles. She's great with a gun, but when she kills a dude,
She always cries just a little. She's Bond, Jane Bond, but she's open to hyphenation. She's Bond, Jane Bond, and always needs a vacation. She's Bond, Jane Bond, a pretty face, but insecure about her body. She's Bond, Jane Bond, not allowed to drive if the mission's in Saudi. Like, that should be disqualifying, just that. 20 years karate, but loses every time she has to fight any male. And then closes her eyes and screams. I fucked up though. I don't remember the words. Any male. Oh, no, no. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Hang on. I don't remember. What was it? She never misses her target, especially if there is a sale. Thank you. She closes her eyes and screams when she is involved in a car chase. Doesn't run from anything except, of course, carbohydrates. She's Bond, Jane Bond, took off a couple days because of cramping. She's Bond, Jane Bond, bad guys can't monologue cause she won't stop talking. She's Bond, Jane Bond, gets really mad if you forget her birthday. She's Bond, Jane Bond, and having a really bad hashtag Mondays. And she sucks at being a secret spy. It's just not empowering to just put women in a position where they could be like shot or get AIDS. All right. Here's a quick song. I'm only racist when I drive. I find, our celebrity culture pretty silly, because none of those jobs mean anything. They don't do anything important. And I've always been an Adam Sandler fan. He put me in a couple movies. He was a really nice guy. And he would always sing this Hanukkah song about everybody in showbiz. So I wanted to balance it out and do a song about everybody else. Yeah. All right. And I'll do my Sandler impression as well. Here we go.
The farmers in the fields. And the men who lay down the tile. Are just a few members of the highly productive Gentiles. The men who fix up the potholes and keep the power up in the power lines are much too busy working for all your financial crimes.
Are they?
So many Jews are in the showbiz, like Harvey Weinstein whacking off and covering a plant with a hippie.
The plumbers fixing the pipes don't have time for your CNN scoop. But they're keeping Mark Zuckerberg from drowning in his Jewish poop.
What did he do?
Uh, So many Jews are in the showbiz, like Woody Allen Weinstein, and I hear Polanski is.
Just let yourself laugh. It's insanely funny.
Don't tell your friend Kyle. There's men who pick up the garbage piles. And if you're nice, they'll smile and invite you to stay a while. And they don't live in denial. So everybody be nice to the Gentile.
O.J. Simpson. Not a Jew.
Some people give me shit about what I'm interested in. You know, I'm interested in figuring out what's going on with Antarctica and stuff like that. And I'm always like, I don't give you shit about what you're interested in. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know, you guys just talk, you're in fantasy football, and you talk about the NFL all the time. That's all they do. It's like, did you see that play? I'm like, dude, that's fine. You like your stuff, I like my stuff. You know, it's like, yeah, but the Vikings are playing the Seahawks. I'm like, are they actual Vikings? No. Are they actual Seahawks? No. Have you been watching pornos? Yes. You know, I got no problem with the NFL. I played football my whole life. I was an all-league football player. I love playing football. I just don't get super into it. Everybody's like, first and 10, second and 10. I'm like, dude, is anybody with the old, you guys want to talk about what the old Grabalonians are up to? You know what I'm saying? I like conspiracies. I like figuring stuff out. So I would watch it if it was, if it was like that, it was called the Grabbler Football League. Ready? Seattle Warhawks are facing off against the San Francisco Sodomites. Oh, it's a Bitcoin toss at the 50-yard line. Only one autistic kid can even see the coin. Here comes the Freemasons to take a knee at the 33-yard line. Nobody knows why. Oh, Kennedy takes a shot to the dome. Looks like we're going to be blitzing Vietnam again. Welcome to Grabbler Football League. The only game where everyone loses. Oh, it's 4th and inches. Here comes Joe the Toe Rogan. Oh, he's taking a knee in his own end zone. He's happy to do it, Tom. He's happy to do it. Oh, here comes Ben Shapiro and the Grabbers. They're fighting over the nickel. Oh, here comes the Subaru Niner Dad. We're all going to a gulag. Detroit Zions facing off against the Tampa Bay Bolsheviks. Here comes Joe Biden smelling a little girl's hair. No one knows why. Here comes Hillary Clinton taking a seat in the top row. Oh, everybody's committed suicide. Grabber football. I mean, you'd watch that. That's all I'm saying. The New York 9/11 Jets facing off against... here's a quick one. My blinker's on. Please let me merge. My lane ends in 500 feet. I will be fine. He doesn't budge, but that's okay. I still have time. 300 feet. Just let me fit. 100 feet, you piece of shit. Here's one for you.
song's called Red Pill Rooster.
Ain't found a way to cuck him yet. NASA's lies get no respect. Screaming at the sun just gets him nowhere. Won't drink water with fluoride. Survived 11 Clinton suicide. Oh God, won't you hear his cock-a-doodle-doo, yeah. Oh yeah, you know he ain't gonna lie about the chemtrails in the sky. Not gonna be come grab Worcester fry, no no.
Thank you.
I'm going to get out of here pretty soon because I want to be able to, I'll be outside if you guys want to take pictures, say what's up. You know, tell me intense stories. I've had some of the best times on the road, man. Like, we were first in Portland, and paraplegic Bear, who's in a wheelchair, and no sight Bear, who can't see. You know how your buddies will do like a would you rather or what would you do scenario? Like, would you rather be in a wheelchair or blind? So these two assholes corner me, and paraplegic Bear in a wheelchair is like, would you rather be in a wheelchair or blind? And the blind dude, full cane, is like, obviously in a wheelchair, right? He goes, being blind sucks. And paraplegic Bear is like, so does being in a wheelchair. And I'm just like, I just don't want AIDS from Bigfoot. I'm not going to choose if I'd rather be blind. But it was like, we talked about it for like 20 minutes. Paraplegic Bear, like the no sight Bear was like, yeah, but at least you can drive. I can't see anything. And paraplegic Bear was like, I can't feel my dick. I was just like, this is a very honest group of people. That's a 100% true story. And when no sight Bear was taking a picture with me, he hands me his cane. And I'm like, what's this? He's like, my cane, I'm blind. It was so... All right, so this is a song you guys might remember. I'll close on this one. And again, thanks everybody for coming out. But this is a song... Yeah. This is a song that you guys might remember from back in the day. If you know the words, please sing along. It's aged quite well. This song got me kicked off several platforms. It's called Soy Boy. There is a man who's afraid of dairy, and he's proud of the fact his balls never got hairy. He's a BuzzFeed foodie blogger, which means he's unemployed, and he's always pissy and a bit bitchy, 'cause he is bloated from soy. He's a soy boy, he's so annoyed, he's a soy boy. He feels no joy, a weak chin and soft hands and a lot of demands. He's got mammary glands. He says his cat is trans 'cause of all that soy. He's a soy boy and he's awful to be around. He thinks Sean King is black and Caitlyn Jenner is a brave and beautiful chick. His ankles are thick, and he says stuff like Colin Kaepernick should have been a first-round pick. He's an ally to women when he marches in the streets. But be careful, ladies. He's Hillary on Facebook, but he's Bill in the sheets. Rape. He's a soy boy. He's so annoyed. He's a soy boy. He feels no joy, a weak chin, and soft hands and a lot of demands. The dude's got mammary glands. He says his cat is trans because of all that soy. He's a soy boy. His opinions are soy. His odor is soy. He's soy comcised. And he's always pissed because he's a soy-cialist. And he's awful to be around.
I'm Owen Benjamin. Good night, everybody. Thank you. One more time for E. Michael Jones and all the wonderful people from Indiana and this theater and all the Bears, Coddington, Ryan, Mac, everybody who made this possible. Good night, everybody. Get home safe. Thank you.
For you. It's a song about a bike. Sing with me. That nigga stole my bike. Need my bike. Good night, everybody. I love you.